You have a Bible with you, perhaps you'd like to turn with me to that passage that Alan read for us a little earlier, the Gospel of John and chapter 10. We read up to verse 21, although I will be referring to some verses a little later after the reading finished. I'm actually currently preaching through Acts in our morning service, but today being a baptismal service, I thought I'd take a break from that and come to what is perhaps my favorite passage in the whole Bible. And the reason I love this passage, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who finds this passage a very, very special one. The reason I love this passage is that it speaks of Christ. And all who are Christians love Christ. That surely is the base definition of a Christian. He loves Christ, or she loves Christ, and loves to hear about Christ and to read about Christ and to be drawn to Christ, to walk with Christ, to read the words of Christ and to fellowship with him. And this passage, the Lord Jesus speaks about himself. Now, I'm not going to expound the whole passage. I doubt if I could do it in one sermon. There's an enormous amount of content in this passage. But what I'm going to do is just pick out three things from this passage about the Lord Jesus Christ. It is our goal as a church to preach Christ. And we seek to make him known to all, that those who are believers might be built up in their faith, and those who are unbelievers might hear of him, of his beauty and majesty, and be drawn to him. And this morning I want to bring to you the Lord Jesus Christ and tell you three things about him. And I trust they will help you in your faith. And if you're not a Christian this morning, I trust you will see Christ in his beauty and majesty and be drawn to him. So three things about the Lord Jesus from this passage. And the first is this: the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. Christ is our Savior. He speaks here about laying down his life. He says in verse 11, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And then again in verse 17, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. And then in verse 9, he in a sense makes this even more clear. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ come to this earth? He came with one purpose: to save sinners from their sin. He came that he might die on the cross of Calvary on behalf of sinners, in the place of sinners. He came to pay the penalty on behalf of those who had broken the law of God by their sin and therefore owed to the law of God a penalty. You see, the law of each nation is based upon the law of God. Now, I know that many of our laws have gone away from the Word of God, but the basic foundation of our legal system is based upon the Word of God. And the basic foundation of our legal system says, you break the law, you've incurred a penalty. And until you pay the penalty, you are guilty. The only way your guilt can be removed is when a penalty is paid and the law is satisfied. Now, that is based upon the Word of God. And God applies his law without any kind of discrimination and without any removal of any aspect of his law. God says, you break my law, there is a penalty incurred. And until that penalty is paid, you are a guilty sinner before me. And so the Lord Jesus Christ came, and he died upon the cross of Calvary. And earlier in the Bible, centuries earlier, there had been a Jewish practice which was, in a sense, teaching us about the cross. And the Jewish practice was that they would take hold of a goat. Now remember, this is all to teach people about Christ. They would take hold of a goat. The high priest would take hold of a goat. And he would lay his hand upon it. And he would confess the sins of the nation. And there was, figuratively speaking, a transfer whereby the sins of the people were taken off them and put onto the goat. This is all picture language, remember. They were taken off the people and put onto the goat, and the goat became a scapegoat. And it was taken out into the wilderness and set free because it was now a cursed thing. It had become a sin bearer. That is a picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. When he hung upon that cross, the sins of his people were laid upon him, and God punished him in our stead, in our place. He died to remove our guilt. He died to cleanse us from the guilt of sin. He shed his blood that we might be cleansed. He died to remove the anger of God that rested upon us. He died to remove us from slavery to sin and to bring us into the kingdom of God, that we might be the children of God, beloved of God, with an eternal, secure heaven place in heaven with him. If you are not a Christian here this morning, I want to address you very directly. You may not like the words I'm speaking, but I must speak to you very directly. And I say this to you, if you're not a Christian here this morning, you are guilty before God. You have broken the law of God. Now you may say to me, but I'm very decent. I'm a moral, upright citizen. But you know, the law of God doesn't just talk about adultery and murder. Do you know the first thing really it says is that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, with all our strength. In other words, we are to devote ourselves to God. This is the first duty of the human being. We are created by God for the glory of God. And we are created to serve Him, to devote ourselves to Him, to bring glory to Him. And the person who will not acknowledge God in his life, will not live according to the standards of God, will not devote himself to God and live his life for God, is already a guilty sinner before God. And if you're not a Christian here this morning, you are guilty. You owe to the law of God a penalty. You are unclean in the sight of God. Your guilt has made you unacceptable, unclean in God's sight. You have the anger of God resting upon you. And you're a slave of sin. We were reading earlier from Romans chapter 6. And if you read on in that passage, the Apostle Paul writes about how those who are not Christians are slaves of sin. And their lives are driven by sin. And that is your condition this morning. And the only way that you can find relief from your condition, the only way that your guilt can be removed, and you can be cleansed from your uncleanness, and the anger of God can be removed from you, and you can be set free from slavery to sin, is if you come to Christ and trust Him alone. He came to this world to save sinners from their sin. He came to pay the penalty that sinners owed to God. He shed His blood that we might be cleansed and brought out of slavery to sin. And He died to remove the anger of God. If you're not a Christian here this morning, you have no hope of heaven. You have no salvation. You have no forgiveness of sin. You have no fellowship with God. Your condition, your spiritual condition, is a desperate one. Your condition in this world might be very comfortable. You may have much of the world's goods and the world's pleasures. But before God, you're in a desperate condition. And I say this to you, listen to me. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. His guilt will be removed. His uncleanness will be removed. The anger of God that rests upon him will be diverted, will be taken away. And he will be brought out of slavery to sin and brought into the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is Savior. If you're a Christian here this morning, this passage, I'm sure as it is read, your heart sings. Because it speaks of Christ. And it speaks of his saving work. It speaks of his death. It speaks of his resurrection. And it speaks of the effect of his death and his resurrection. And how his death and his resurrection brings life to his people. Salvation to his people. Eternal hope to his people. Well, why not today come to him and ask him to take away your guilt and your uncleanness. And to remove the anger of God that rests upon you. And to release you from slavery to sin. Christ is our Savior. And Christ is the only Savior that God has sent into this world. If you have Christ, you have salvation. You don't have Christ, you have no salvation. So that's the first thing I wanted to bring to your attention. Christ is our Savior. But I want us to notice a second thing in this passage. And it says this, that Christ is our Shepherd. Christ is our Shepherd. And there are some lovely verses here which speak about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ to his people when they come to know him as their Savior. And they're beautiful passages. Actually, the chapter divisions, you know, were not there in the original. And I think this is one of the places where the chapter division perhaps confuses us, because we think that chapter 10 is a brand new break in his teaching. But actually it isn't. It's in the context of chapter 9. And in chapter 9, you have the account of a man who was born blind, whom the Lord Jesus healed. And the leaders of the synagogue drove him out of the synagogue. These were men who had been appointed to be shepherds of God's people, but they were false shepherds. They did not care for the needy. They despised the needy. And when this man comes and he says, I have been healed of my blindness. Well, they should have rejoiced with him. And they should have said to him, who was it who healed you? Let us go and see him, that we might receive him as Savior. Because it was Christ who healed him. But they were false shepherds. And they drove him out of the synagogue. And the Lord Jesus Christ is moved by his plight. He's moved by all who are sheep without a shepherd. And so he says there, right at the beginning, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door, he is the shepherd of the sheep. And then he says later in the passage, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. That's a beautiful phrase. Do you know, there are times when you're afraid that people will find out what you are like. But then when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and you enter into a relationship with him, can I say this to you? This is, I think, one of the most precious things about the Christian faith. You want the Lord Jesus Christ to know everything about you. A true Christian will never hide anything from Christ. He won't be a hypocrite before Christ. He won't try and pretend before Christ that he's better than he is. He opens himself up to Christ. He brings out all his faults, all his sins, all his bad habits, and he lays them before Christ. Why? Because he knows that the Lord Jesus Christ is his shepherd who loves him. Do you know the most precious word in the Bible is grace? And grace means that Christ loves the unlovable and the unlovely. Grace means Christ gives blessings when we don't deserve blessings, but actually we deserve to be judged. Grace means Christ loves us when we don't deserve to be loved, we don't feel lovely, we don't feel lovable, he still loves us. He loves us because He's determined to love us, not because He sees anything lovable in us. He loves us because He is love. And He loves to love. And so He pours out His love upon us. Now once you grasp hold of that the Lord Jesus Christ loves me, well, you come to Him. And He says, my sheep know me and I know my sheep. And He knows each one of us. He knows all our weaknesses. He knows the areas where there is tension in our lives. He knows the areas where there is anxiety in our lives. And He never, ever, ever, ever rejects us. You come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He will never abandon you. I promise you this. He will never abandon you. You may be going through the worst trial in your life. You may have fallen into the worst sin that you've ever committed. He will not abandon you. I promise you that. He is the good shepherd. There is this contrast, you see, between the leaders of the synagogue and Christ. And the leaders of the synagogue judged people according to their character, according to their financial status, according to their works. And Christ, the good shepherd, judges no one, none of His children, according to their financial status or character or anything like that. He loves all His people, all who have come to Him and trusted in Him. It's a lovely thing to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, because He is your shepherd and He accompanies you through life. Earlier this morning when we had our prayer meeting, we read Psalm 23 because we were thinking of Christ as our shepherd. And I love that phrase. And in the last few months, that phrase has come to mean something very special to me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. I think that's just beautiful. You are with me. And you speak to any Christian here this morning, and you talk to them about the times when they face trials, and in their own words, and their words might not be very eloquent, but in their own words, they will basically say what David says in that psalm. And they will say to you, when I went through those difficult periods, I knew the Lord Jesus Christ was with me. And I knew that He was guiding me. And I knew that He loved me. And I knew that He was taking care of me. And I knew that my future was secure in His hands. He is the good shepherd. He knows His sheep. And He tends for them and cares for them and never abandons them. When the Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth before His death, He spoke to His disciples and He loved them. He knew that they were going to flee from Him when He was arrested. But He loved them and He wanted to comfort them so that when He did die, they would remember His words and be comforted. And one of the things He said to them, He says, I will not leave you as orphans. I think that's lovely. No child of God is ever an orphan, because we are indeed the children of God and the people of Christ, and Christ is our shepherd. If you're not a Christian here this morning, I commend my Lord Jesus Christ to you as the good shepherd. I offer Him to you. I invite you to come to Him. And I say to you, come. And receive from Him comfort. Come and receive from Him salvation. Come and receive from Him the blessings of heaven. I've never ever heard of a person becoming a Christian and then regretting doing so. Never heard such a thing. Never heard a person say, I became a Christian. God in Christ saved me from my sin, gave me Christ and all His works, applied His works to me, made me a born-again Christian. I wish He hadn't done that. Never heard such a thing. Everyone who becomes a Christian says, thank God that He made me a Christian, because I've received the blessings of heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ. So Christ is our Savior. Christ is our Shepherd. And then thirdly and finally, Christ is our security. Christ is our security. We finished reading at verse 21, but I want to read a little later in verses 28 and from 27 to 29. This is what Jesus says in verses 27 to 29. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand." Now that's beautiful. That's a wonderful, there's two wonderful promises there. They will never perish. That's a great promise. And remember, He is God. This is not some human being voicing some wishful thoughts. This is God speaking. So you've got a wonderful promise there straight away. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. But then comes a second promise to underline it. Because He knows what we are like. We're prone to doubt. So He gives a second promise straight on the footsteps of the first one. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. But then there's a third underline in verse 29. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. We will never perish. No one will ever snatch us out of the hands of Christ. No one will ever snatch us out of the hand of the Father. If you're a Christian here this morning, there is a place in heaven with your name on it. And you will be there to take it up. If you're a Christian here this morning, your sins have been forgiven. They have all been removed and hurled into the depths of the ocean. They have been removed as far as the east is from the west. And God will never bring them up again. There are Christians who worry about this. And they say, well, and usually you hear this from a person who is close to death. And they say, I've done so many terrible things, even after I became a Christian. And I just worry about this, that when I die and I'm standing before God in judgment, He will have a list and He will say, well, of course you can enter heaven, but I was very disappointed. And did you really need, and when you did that, you really offended me and so on. Do you know that won't happen? Your sins are gone if you're a Christian here this morning. They have been removed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have been cleansed. They have been hurled into the depths of the sea. Christ Himself in His own body has borne our iniquities upon Him. And He has paid a full penalty to God for our sins. His resurrection is proof that His offer of salvation, or His offer, His sacrifice that He made on the cross, was acceptable to God the Father. God has accepted the sacrifice of Christ on your behalf. Your sins are gone. You're a forgiven person. You're heading for heaven. And no one will be able to rob you of that blessing. And that's a wonderful thing. It releases in us devotion and obedience. It doesn't release in us a spirit that says, well, if my sins are forgiven and my place in heaven is guaranteed, I might as well go and enjoy myself and sin as much as I want to. No Christian will ever do that. Gratitude overcomes everything. And we think to ourselves, what a lovely Savior. I must give myself to Him. I must devote myself to Him. I must serve Him with the rest of my life and give myself to Him. We have security in Christ because He is the all-sufficient Savior. If you're not a Christian here this morning, you have no security. You don't know where you're going when you die. You have no idea what lies beyond death. Although if you read the Bible, it does tell you, and I tell you this, if you're not a Christian, this book has some very bad news for you. Because it says to you, there is a place called hell. And God created hell. And God sends those who reject Christ into hell. And they spend eternity in hell, being punished for their sins. It is entirely just and entirely fair because God is just and fair. You have no security. But if you come to Christ today and you ask Him to take away your sin, you ask Him to forgive you and cleanse you, He will. It doesn't matter how bad you are. It doesn't matter how many times you rejected the gospel in the past. It doesn't matter what you have been. You come today. You come and ask Him to save you. You come and ask Him to give you a place in heaven that is secure because it is in His hands, and He will do it. I promise you this. The Lord Jesus Himself has said, I will never turn away anyone who comes to me. He will not turn you away. We've witnessed baptisms today. We've heard testimonies of people who came to Christ and asked Him for salvation and the forgiveness of their sins, and they were received. And you come and you will be received. And what a wonderful thing it would be if we had another baptismal service and you were baptized. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Why not come to Him today and ask Him to save you? Let's come to Him in prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank You for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You that He came to die for us. We thank You that He was raised from the dead and lives today, our great Shepherd. And we thank You that in Him we have security. And we pray for any here this morning who do not know the forgiveness of their sins and salvation through Christ. We ask You, please be merciful to them, Lord, and awaken them and regenerate them. Make them alive and draw them to Your Son that they may have salvation. In His name we pray. Amen.